about verse 23. Acts 16, verse 23. And if I preached here before, just put another date beside it and say he preached there again. I'm going to pretend like I don't know you tonight. And I'd appreciate if you act like you don't know me for a night. Amen? Just let God speak to you. We're going to look at this from a different point of view tonight. We're going to look at it from a jailer's point of view. A jailer's point of view. And when they had laid many stripes, is that what y'all are seeing? Acts 16, 23. And when they had laid many stripes, then they cast them in the prison. I still hear pages turn. I'll wait. I'm kind of excited. Just want to get in the Word. Amen. Y'all there? One page turned. Acts 16, 23. And when they had laid many stripes, we there? Amen? Something? All right. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them in the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Had one job. The jailer had one job. One job. This jailer was one of the biggest reasons Paul and Silas were sent to Macedonia. Somewhere in his life, somewhere in his time, I believe with all my heart, he looked up or looked within and said, God, if you're real. I don't know if there's anybody in this room, have you ever said, God, help me, even when you didn't know God? I'm going to be honest with you. There might be some people in here, you think, well, I might be an atheist. Thought I was an atheist at one time. But if you get in enough trouble and you get hurt bad enough, you will literally cry to your mouth, God, help me. That's where I've been there before, amen? I didn't know Jesus, was not saved, living the most ridiculous life you could live, and guess what? Got into some trouble and put my head down and said, God, if you are real, help me. And this guy, I'm guaranteeing you this, he never thought God was going to help him the way he did. And a lot of you sitting here didn't think God was going to help you the way he helped you. All of a sudden, they're opening up the doors of the prison, and there's two bloody men standing at the door. Both of them beat, with their backs just shredded, blood pouring off of them, probably naked, embarrassed, beaten, unrecognizable, and they bring them in there, and they're like, you got one job. Watch these two. One job. Ain't it amazing you will pray and ask God and beg God to help you, to help you, to help you, and your prayers are often answered with people. He don't send the miracle all the time. A lot of times he just sends people. And most of the time when the people show up, they're a bloody mess. Oh, never. When they show up, they're just a mess. You think they're your biggest problem. That you look at them at first like, oh no, why are they here? You ever had a preacher pull up in your driveway? You ever had a preacher knock on your door? You ever, oh man, what are we going to do with this one? Amen? Show up when you didn't expect them to. Not just a preacher, but any man of God or woman of God, somebody you knew was a Christian. When they showed up, you thought they was going to be more trouble. You didn't think there was going to be help. Matter of fact, you thought, man, this is the worst day of my life. But guess what? You had the roles were kind of flipped. Amen. The roles were kind of flipped. I started studying this, and the roles were kind of flipped. Through the eyes of a jailer, If you didn't pay no attention, Paul and Silas were sent there by the Holy Spirit of God to help somebody. They didn't know who they were there to help, but they were there to help the person who was imprisoning them. That person had a title. You might want to write this down. Your title doesn't save you. Your title doesn't do anything for you. Some of us in this room, at one time or another, we thought our title meant something. I'm such and such. I'm so and so. This is who I. It could be your family. It could be where you're born. It could be your race. It could be anything. It could be where you was raised. It could be your education. It could be a lot of things. And boy, you just tell, this is who I am, and this is who I'm identified by. This man had authority. He had authority. They gave him to him. They said, here they are. You're in charge of them. Man, he looked like he was in charge. But on the outside, on the outside, he looked like he was in charge. But on the inside, he's a hot mess. Is there anybody in here ever been in charge, but on the inside, you're a mess? Hey, come on, some of you daddies better help me, because some of you, you had the title daddy, but you was a mess. Anybody in here who was a mama, but you was a mess? Praise God, you had it. Oh, everybody, look, oh, she's got it all together. Oh, man, look at her car, look at her hair, look at her dress. Oh, look at him. Man, he got biceps, he got quadriceps, he's got a forerunner, he got this, he got a good job. Man, he got it all together. But good Lord, if anybody knew what it was like to ride with you to work and ride home. Amen? If anybody was like to know when you were by yourself in that house, what you were saying to yourself. God, if you're real, you better do something. Huh? Down there on the job, God, if you're real, you better do something. And you know what God does? He sends people your way. He sends people your way. And you better not miss when he sends your people. You better not miss it when he sends that person. When that person who gets in your business and you wish God hadn't sent them at first, praise God, you know what he did? The first thing he did was locked them up. Oh, man, I like to preach on that for a little bit. How about it? Listen to this, Acts 16, verse 24. And having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Man, some of us are binding our help. Some of us are tying up our help. Some of us are trying to get rid of the thing that was sent to change your life. Praise God, Jesus comes in the room through a human being, and guess what you do? You reject them. Oh, man, I'll find something wrong with them. Man, this guy's like, man, I can't believe these two. Of all the people they send me, he goes in and ties them and locks them fast in the stocks. And here's two bleeding preachers laid over, got their backs just lacerated, blood running everywhere. He locks the door and goes right outside, and he doesn't know it, but God has sent him two missionaries just for him. Two missionaries. Man, God will send people to you, and you better not miss it. Amen? And listen, can I reverse preach here for a minute? If you're the one who is sent, you better not miss it. Some of y'all are praying that God makes it real comfortable, real easy, real, oh God, let me have the lazy river of Christianity. Lord, let me just ride on down until I get to glory. And Lord, when I'm about to die, send an angel by just to scoop up my last breath and then usher me in to the presence of glory for the rest of my life. Can I tell you one thing? That's not the book of Acts. That's not the book of Acts. The book of Acts is totally different. The book of Acts is like this. They're like the Navy SEALs of Christianity. Y'all don't believe me. Let me read. Y'all don't believe me. Verse 25. I've been looking at this wrong. Maybe not wrong, just from a different perspective. Somebody, God, I hate to do this to you. Just say it to yourself, different perspective. Have you ever looked at the Scriptures from a different perspective? We're looking at it from a different perspective tonight. We're not Paul and Silas. We're a prisoner. We're somebody who needs Jesus. We're somebody who's fronting. Oh, I used a word. Fronting. Pretending to be okay when we're a mess. We're putting on. We're being, what's a church word? Hypocrites. Ha, found it. We're being hypocritical. We're acting like things are okay and they're not okay. God sends some people your way when you're acting like everything's all right and it's not all right, and he sends people to speak and act in your life to expose that everything ain't all right. God, you know why I was sent down here to preach? To expose everything ain't all right. Man, we can go to church for a long time and feel like, man, I'm glad I ain't one of those. Amen? No, it's worse. We're one of us. Midnight, look at this, verse 25, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises, and God and the prisoners heard them. Listen to this, And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Listen, I used to think, man, we're going to get a hold of God. You know what they were saying? Literally, it's a track record in Acts. You know what they were saying? God sent us on a mission. We've gotten beaten. We've gotten handcuffed. We've gotten placed in the prison. Man, Silas, you're not going to believe this. Me and you are... God thinks we're awesome. Oh, never. God thinks we're rock'em, sock'em robots. God thinks we are secret special force agents. God thinks we're the Navy SEALs. Hey, man. God thinks we're the Marine Corps of the Christians. Hey, man. We think of it wrong. We think they were down in that prison going, oh, God, why'd this happen to us? Why'd we do this? You know what they were thinking? Man, God trusted us. I can't believe it. He could have sent Peter, John, Jane. He could have sent anybody. But my God, he trusted me and you. You knucklehead. No, you knucklehead. Come on. I'm being serious. It wasn't long ago we were persecuting Christians. Man, we've came a long way. Now we're the ones being beaten. I got 40 lashes saved. One. Y'all know what that is? You take a cane pole, a rigid pole, thick as almost as a baseball bat, and they bend you over a whipping post and strap your arms and legs, and they beat you upon the back and the back of your legs, 39 lashes. Save one, because one's too many. 40's too many. I'd have been a smart aleck. I'd say, man, go ahead and get that 40th one in. You know what I'm saying? I lost consciousness at 30. But God, I wish y'all get this. We make this book so clean and pristine. We make this book so, oh, and they were beaten and they were put in the prison and man, there they stayed. My God, these men's backs and legs were just meat. I mean, they were just beaten to pieces. And they're in the prison together. And the men all of a sudden they look at each other. And I could see tears of joy run down their face. And they're saying, my God, he loves us. He trusts us. He gave us this assignment. And my God, ain't this awesome? Silas, this is awesome. I wonder if he said something like this. Man, we got these boys surrounded. They put us in here in the prison, and man, we got 30 cells this way and 30 cells that way. Man, the devil messed up tonight. Put two preachers on the worst cell block in town. Man, God will put you in some of the worst places in the world on purpose. Stop trying to live your life. Live the life that God wants you to live. It'll look scary, feel scary, and seem scary, and sound scary to other people. They'll say stuff like, you shouldn't go. But some in here will say, I can't help myself. I've got to go. I've got to go. And man, you're going to get in trouble sometimes. But there's some jailers. There's some people that are in prison, but it ain't the kind of prison you're thinking it is. They're locked up behind bars in their own minds, in their own hearts. They go home every night. They eat dinner every night. They're probably married and got kids. And man, they seem like everything's going all right. But they need Jesus. They need him. And if God has to break you to make them, you should have said, let the breaking begin. God, break away. Beat me, break me, take me where you want to take me. God, if we got to reach, because Paul was begging, God, send me down into Asia, send me to Asia. And Paul and Jesus like, no, you're not going down to Asia Minor. No way. And all of a sudden, Paul's like, come on, Jesus. I want to go down there. I heard it was a rough place. Nowhere to go. He goes, no, I got somewhere. And all of a sudden, one night, they said a man shaped in the Holy Spirit stood up and said, come over here. Hey, man. The Holy Spirit said, come over here. Why do you want to wait on the Holy Spirit? Because when the Holy Spirit sends you, you'll be fruitful. If you go, you're going to be in danger. But if you go in the Spirit of God, you might feel like you're dying, you might think you're dying, but you're not dying. You're setting people free. I know it's crazy to talk like this on Sunday night. I know some of y'all come here tonight and thought, man, I hope he's got something half as good as he did this morning, because we got to get through church and I don't want to sleep. You know what I want? I want God to stir us up so much that we go places and do things that scares the daylights out of us. I hope we have to talk to people at work, talk to people in our community, talk to people around the world. If we have to go back to places that we didn't want to go, and God says, and we're going all the way down there going, we better pray, we better pray. You know, the more trouble you get in, the more you pray, and the more you worship. I'm preaching better than y'all are letting on. And suddenly, verse 26, suddenly there was a great earthquake. So that there were the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. Whew. Man, that's awesome, man. I've probably preached this 100 times since I've been preaching. One of my favorite places in the Bible. This is exciting. Come on, touch your neighbor and say, man, it's exciting. Except for the guard. When Jesus is trying to save you, it'll feel like he's killing you. Golly, man, is anybody saved in here? Is there anybody born again? When he tried to save you, didn't it seem like he was trying to kill you? What are you doing, God? You're running my job. You're running my career. You're running my name. You're running my title. You're running what I'm good at. Write that down. God ain't ruining what you're good at. The only reason you're good at it is because God made you good at it. God's better at what you do than you are. You just won't give him who you are. You're still doing it yourself. You're still doing it your way. Oh, y'all don't believe me. Y'all are looking skeptical. Every prison door was open. Every chain fell off. How many prisoners escaped? Well, God is a good jailer then. God can keep some people under control. God can keep them in the house. Amen? God had them under... Whoa! God said, if you let me in charge of this thing, you won't need bars. You won't need fences. You won't need weapons. I can tame the worst, and I can tame the best. Amen? And I'm not here to save a bunch of prisoners. Amen? A lot of times we want God to save them and they and those. Man, them guys over there, man, them's right, them murder, them thieves, them liars, them. God's over there, I'm trying to save you. Because you can't see the wickedness in you. You can't see that you've broken my laws. You can't see that you've broken my commandments. You can't see, but I was raised in church. Yeah, I don't care if you was raised in a garage, don't make you a car. And the prison heard them. I love that, don't you? You know what I was thinking from the guard's point of view? You know what I was thinking? Idiots. Idiots. That's what I was thinking. Betsy, stay with me. Watch this. Old guard's in there, and he's sitting there, you know, sitting in the room over guard shack, just sitting in there. All of a sudden, he hears him in there singing, "Praise God, hallelujah. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound." Whatever song you want to pick. Amen? I don't care what it is. If it's glorifying God. And all of a sudden, you know what? He's sitting over there going, man, these idiots have gotten their backs tore to pieces. They've got arrested in the name of this God of theirs. And they're in there singing at midnight. Tomorrow, when the next shift comes, I'm going to walk out of here. I'm going to go home. I'm going to eat me a hot meal. And them old boys going to be locked up. They are fools. Wouldn't you like to be known as a fool for Christ? Wouldn't you like to be known as a fool for Christ? People look at you and go, man, that guy's wasting his time. That girl's wasting her time. That man or that woman, she's wasting their time. Man, they don't know. They don't know where God got you from. They don't know where God saved you from. They don't know. They don't know how you don't. They don't know your testimony. They don't know how he rescued you. Hey, I'm not a fool for Christ. I just met him. You ain't met him yet. When you meet him, you'll do the same. You'll take a beating for him. You'll sing for him when you shouldn't be singing. You'll be praising. Man, preachers can preach. Listen to this. I love it. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loose. Verse 27, and the keeper of the prison walked, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled. Man, he was that close to killing himself. You ever been that close to killing yourself? Man, that close. Had the plan, had the means, had the reason. Amen? Had the means, had the plan, had the reason. Death looked better than life. The devil's roaring in your ear. It's over. It's over. It's over. Just make it across this finish line. You'll never feel no more pain. You'll never feel no more hurt. It'll be over. You ever been there? Praise God. I'm telling you, friend, it ain't that. You know, I couldn't get there. You can get there. The devil is a liar, though. What he don't tell you is, this is the beginning of pain. This is the beginning of hurt. You're about to go to a place that you will do nothing but hurt and remember everything that was hurting you in this world. You see, everybody in the prison, the hardest prisoner, is all right. The guy that was watching them has drawn out his sword and is about to kill himself. Amen? And guess what? God sends two missionaries just for him. Verse 28, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Do you know what the guard thought happened through his point of view? You know what he had thought happened? What would you think would happen? If all the doors of the prison opened and all the shackles were broke off, what would you think that prisoners normally do? They're running for the hills. They're out of here. Listen, as Christians, we shouldn't run from the battle. We shouldn't run from the ministry. We shouldn't run from the uncomfortable places. I thought to myself sometimes, I wonder how many times that the door sprang open of the dangerous place or the shackles fell off the dangerous place and we were quick to leave when God wanted us to stay and save somebody or help save somebody. Amen? Huh? Are you hearing me? Because, man, if Paul and Silas, they could have ran up the stairs and out the gate and went down to the church and said, my God, he's a miracle-working God, busted us out of prison. Huh? That could have been a great story. And it had probably been rehearsed throughout the church history, but it probably wouldn't have made it in the Bible. Amen? Paul and Silas, shackles off. Amen? Shackles off, door open. The other prisoners heard them worshiping. So you know what they said? Those dudes in there got something better than it's in the world. Let's just see what happens next. You should live your Christian life where people are looking at you and I say, oh, I just want to see what happens next in their life. Amen? That's what I want to say to people. Look and see. Look and see. That's what Jesus said. Look to me. Look at me. Amen? Look, taste. It's right here. Praise God. As Christians, we should say, hey, we're going to be serving God until the rest of our lives. You can look. I love this stuff, man. Do y'all like this kind of stuff? Man, I love the Bible when it comes alive. And they're still there. Do thyself no harm, right? Paul cried, do thyself no harm, for we are all, underline that, A-L-L, we are all here. Woo! We're here. Amen? We're here. The prisoner's in there. Man, that guard's like, man, he takes his sword and drops it and runs in, right? Look at this. I want you to see it. It's a different perspective. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Why do you think he asked them? He wanted it, but guess what? He's asking some people that he just beat or helped beat, help incarcerate, help lock up, help watch, and now he's asking them, will you tell me how to get what you have? Because he said, in bonds or free, you've got it better than me. I'm free as a bird and you're in bonds, and you've got more freedom, more liberty, more peace, more joy, more happiness than I've ever had in my whole life. I don't care what happens. Listen to me. Listen to what I'm saying. The jailer's point of view, he comes in and he asks two felons, two people that are incarcerated, how do I get what you got? What'd he just say? I am about to set you free, lose my job possibly, lose my life possibly. But guess what? I would rather lose my life to Christ than to lose it to myself any longer. Tell me about this. Are you living is your Christian walk, is it able to convert anybody? Is it able to change anybody? Does it make anybody thirsty, or does it turn the light on anybody's life? Does it make people say, man, your life looks crazy, but I want it. You don't cuss, you don't drink, you don't lie, you don't steal, you don't run around, you don't do it. Man, you're not doing any of that stuff, but praise God, the world said it'll make you happy. It don't. What you're doing, though, I want it. Man, I had a few men who walked out Christianity in front of me before I got saved, and I was jealous. Man, they're happy. I'm not happy. I'm pretending to be happy. I'm not excited. I'm pretending to be excited. Man, anybody in here else was a chameleon? Man, I was a chameleon. I could change in any crowd. What everybody was doing, I'd do. Hey, we're acting fools, we'll be a fool. We're acting smart, we'll pretend like we're smart. Amen? Just change and morph and mold until you meet somebody who's happy in who they are. Woo! Man, I got saved, and God said, I created you to be you. Be you. I can remember one of the first times I preached. I preached like everybody I'd heard preach. I mean, I was raised in church to a certain age. Then I'd heard other people preach, and I got up in the pulpit, and I preached. And Melissa asked me, you want a recording of that message? And God said, no, burn it. Huh? No, get rid of it. I don't want no copy of that. You know why? Because I was trying to pretend to be somebody I'm not. God said, preach like I told you to preach. Say it like you see it. I want you. If I wanted somebody else, I'd call somebody else. I want you. For the first time, I'm preaching to somebody. For the first time in my life, my whole life, I was 30 years old, and I didn't even know who I was. But guess what? God said, I love that guy. And guess what? I walk into a room right now, hate me, love me, despise me, reject me, shake my hand, love me. I don't, one way or the other, I'm going to be me. I mean, one way or the other, I don't like you. Great. Not going to change. Man, I love you. Great, because I'm not changing. That's freedom, if you don't know. That's freedom. That's real freedom. Some of you dudes in here, I'm going to be honest with you. You need to say, I need that. I want that, because we do that. I don't know what women do. I'm not one. Amen? But I am a guy. And guys, we pretend, we put on masks. We're good at it. One of the best ones we put on is we ain't hurt mask. No, I'm all right. About to commit suicide. No, I'm all right. Thinking about going and getting high. No, I'm all right. Thinking about having an affair on your wife. No, I'm all right. Huh? Some of you women, you want to sign if the man's hurting real bad, he ain't saying nothing. Nah, I'm good. Huh? Oh, never mind. God, y'all almost got the real stuff right there. We start prying away at that, and we'll be here all night. But Paul cried to the last, we are all here. And he called for a light and sprang in. He brought them out. No, look at this. I want you to see this. Then called he for a light and sprang and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Verse 31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thine house. Verse 31. Well, somebody in the back, does anybody have their Bible open on that? Anybody? Read that for me, please. 31 again. All right, somebody else back there, read that for me. Thank you. Anybody over there would read that for me, please? Anybody? All right, anybody on this side, read. If y'all got your Bible open, read that for me. Okay. Go back. Hey, listen. All right, give me verse 31. This is dangerous stuff. We're in dangerous stuff, but I want you to read it. Well, anybody on that back row got a Bible open? Any of you? Anybody back there? No? One other. Give me one. Why didn't he tell him anything else? Why didn't he tell anything else? Why didn't he tell him anything else? Ain't that amazing? Paul, one of the most religious men in the Bible who got saved and converted, has the opportunity to lead a guard to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he asks him one question: what must I do to be saved? Believe. We've got people who are raised in this church who go through this church from this age to this age. And if you ask them and they get confronted about their faith, sometimes they'll say, I don't know. I know you got to believe, and I know you got to repent, and I know you got to get baptized, and I don't know if you got to do this. I don't know what kind of church you got. You know what it said in the scriptures? You must believe. Believe what? That Jesus Christ was the only begotten Son of God, and it took that dying on a cross for your sins to be forgiven. And that is enough. Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone is enough. If you put your trust in faith and believe in who He is, that is enough. I don't care if you do one more thing before or after that, you will be saved, you and your household. That's in the Bible. Amen? Pretty good? Is that pretty good? That's good doctrine. Heavy doctrine. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them that same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into the house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. Guess what happened? He did believe. He did get saved. And you say, how do you know that he got saved? But because he did believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, he then began to do stuff that he would never have ever done in his life before that. He took two prisoners that had priorly been beaten in his prison, who he would have gladly seen bleed out and starve to death. But now that he's been saved, he's, golly, bum, I wish y'all would let me preach this. He goes, hey, boys, golly, can y'all, hey, come here, sit down. Y'all don't get this. Y'all ain't seeing this. For him to wash their wounds, they would have to lay flat on their stomachs. He would have to wash their backs. He would have to be over. This is not cool. This ain't when somebody looks at it and goes, man, that's masculine. That's a great place to be. Washing dudes' wounds on their backs and the back of their legs. They got beat from the top of their shoulders down to the bottom of their knees. God, I wish y'all get it. If we really got this, you'd be all over this altar right now. Because when you truly get saved, guess what's on the table? God, whatever you want me to do and however you want me to do it, I will do it. And I'll do it gladly. And I'll do it good. I'll get deep into those wounds. Boys, I know this hurts. I know I helped put these wounds on you. But if we get down in there and we get this out and we put some salve in there and we cover it and we get that, man, you're going to heal up nice. Oh, I don't. Hey, babe, will you do me a favor? Hey, babe, will you run in there and kill the best animal that we got and slaughter it and get these boys something to eat? They need steak. They need meat. These boys are going to have to recuperate from their wounds. I want the best meat for them, and I want to get the best cheeses, and I want you to get the best milk because these boys are in our house. And the reason, my God, the reason they're in our house is because God sent them on a mission to save our souls. The reason we're saved is they're here. Treat them like somebody. God sent these men, and they took a beating for us that we might be saved. Some of y'all need to thank God for God sending some people into your lives, even though how annoying, how aggravating, how scary it was, and they tried to ruin you, and you thought they was trying to kill you, and all they did was help get you saved. Let's all stand as they come get a song.